Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the dock today, Lori Vallow. The judge has signed the order. The prosecution trial team is set. Second, Jacob Blake sues the officer responsible for paralyzing him. Third, the Boulder suspect is moved to another jail facility for his own safety. Fourth, Crystal Lee Kenny released from prison. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and a recap of the dumb criminal contestants throughout the week to see who is going to be crowned the winner by you, the Crime Talk subscribers. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that little subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right, first on the docket, Lori Vallow. The court has signed the order and is allowing Rachel Smith to appear pro hoc vice because she is not licensed in the great state of Idaho, and she will be deputized as a deputy prosecuting attorney to serve as local counsel. What does this mean, if anything? Well, I don't know. I did some research on Rachel Smith. She basically looks like a career prosecutor, resigned when a new district attorney came into power there in Missouri, and did some teaching for district attorneys. Clearly never done any defense work, at least from what I can tell. And according to her, she does a little bit of civil litigation as well as being a prosecutor, as a special prosecutor in Missouri. I could not find any particularly interesting case that she was involved with or any great skill. She's a career prosecutor, but the prosecution should bring on whatever resources they need, because what is the prosecutor's goal in any case? Justice. That's it. Not to get convictions, it's justice. Although I do always say, if you want justice, don't go to a courthouse, you may not get it. But hopefully in this case, we do get justice for Ty Lee and JJ. Next on the docket, Jacob Blake. He is suing the police officer that shot him. Through his attorney, Ben Crump, that's right, he also represented the Floyd family, so $27 million settlement there. He represented the Breonna Taylor family. What was that? $12 million, if I recall correctly. And he is back, and he filed a federal lawsuit against the Kenosha police officer, Rustin Schenke. Now, this goes back to the shooting in August of 2020, where Mr. Blake was involved in what was called in as a domestic disturbance. He was at his girlfriend's house, the mother of his children's house. Needless to say, the police show up. Mr. Blake is less than cooperative. And in fact, the police officer was justified in the shooting, according to the criminal code and the police department, because Mr. Blake had a knife that was recovered from the floorboard of the car where the shooting took place. Now, curiously absent from this particular lawsuit is the city. The police officer, Mr. Schenke, he may in fact bring the city in, basically saying, hey, I was just simply following protocol, training, doing what I was doing. So if anyone's to be blamed, you know, bring in the city. Let's face it, that's really who Mr. Crump and the Blake family are looking to get. Why? Because the city has more money, because they have taxpayer dollars to write those big checks from. I doubt Officer Schenke has a pot to piss in. This may just be symbolic unless the city is somehow brought into the lawsuit. We'll have to wait and see and watch. Now, let's take a quick recess before we continue with the rest of the docket. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, let's talk about the Boulder County King Super shooting incident. Ahmad Alyssa, the suspect, he appeared in court. Issues of competency were already raised, and then they'll see if Mr. Alyssa is even competent to proceed. Does he know what's going on? Who is in the courtroom? What are the roles of the people in the courtroom? Very similar to Letitia Stauch. However, in this particular case, there may be some legitimacy to that. Now, even if Mr. Alyssa is found to be competent, then and only then will they move on forward in the case where the possible defense, if it's even viable, of not guilty by reason of insanity. But that does not mean that he will go home if he is found to be not guilty by reason of insanity. Nope, he will be sent to a mental health institution, basically probably to spend the rest of his life there. Now, the public defender is representing Mr. Alyssa, and he has the same attorneys that were involved in the Aurora Theater shooting case, a mental health case. The advantage for the public defenders in this particular case is there's no death penalty case because the Colorado legislature and the governor signed the bill from the Colorado legislature abolishing the death penalty. I was watching the news last night, and there was a story about the Alyssa case. And it reinforced to me why we started this channel years ago. The news anchor, in this particular case, Kyle Clark, started going on about, well, normally at the next court proceeding, there'll be a plea that will be entered, and then it'll be set for a preliminary hearing, and then an arraignment. No, Mr. Clark, that is not the case. He's not even at second advisement just yet, and therefore, they aren't even set for a preliminary hearing. They have to determine competency. And the not guilty or guilty plea wouldn't come until the arraignment, which would be after that, which is why we started this channel. This is why you cannot always trust the news media, because they don't always get it right. All right. And guess what? If I make a mistake, I'll let you know. I have yet to see anybody from 9 News correct their mistakes, because I saw them repeating the same story this morning. So we'll just leave it at that. All right, next on the docket, Crystal Lee Kenny. That name ring a bell? That's right. That's the woman that was involved in the death of Kelsey Barrett. She's the one that admitted to cleaning up the place. Of course, she did maybe think about trying to do terrible things to Kelsey Barrett on at least 3 occasions, but she backed out. But she helped dispose of the remains of Kelsey Barrett, which ultimately led to the conviction of Mr. Patrick Frazee. Well, Crystal Lee Kenny had a plea bargain with the prosecutors in that case. She pled guilty to a Class 6 felony. Normally, that only carries 12 months to 18 months in prison, but if there was aggravation, it could be as high as 36 months, which is 3 years. The court sentenced Miss Crystal Lee Kenny to 36 months. They appealed the decision, her defense team did, and it went up and said, hey, the judge did not properly advise my client that she could get up to 36 months. Now, this is a little disingenuous, I think, because of course the client knew she could get up to 36 months. I'm sure the attorney knew that since there was no statutory aggravation, that this would have been discretionary aggravation given the circumstances. Everybody knew in that courtroom, everybody knew watching, that she was going to get 36 months. And then to appeal and say, ooh, the judge didn't properly advise me that I could have had a jury determine whether there was aggravating circumstances. That was the whole plea deal. Now, the prosecutor that made that deal, he's no longer in office. But the new one certainly could have said, hey, if she didn't want that deal, we'll start all over again and let's charge her with conspiracy to commit murder or much more serious charges. But they let it go. She was sentenced last week on her new resentencing date, where she received 18-month sentence. Since she had already served 13 months, she was immediately released and sent to parole. She has 1 year of parole supervision, and she will be completely done with that case. Wow, what a great deal for her. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. This guy has a long history of doing dumb things. One of the dumb things he likes to do is dress like a cop. And I guess if you can't beat him, join him. Well, Jeremy DeWitt, he was traveling the other day on the highway, and he was riding among other motorcyclists who mirrored law enforcement. A deputy noted the group of riders were dressed in yellow polo shirts and screen print and markings of police-type shields and badges. Their sleeves had protection officer, motor unit, and Metro State Protection Services, among other similar law enforcement-related titles printed on their shirts. Deputies said DeWitt specifically had two sets of black stars on his collar that signify a two-star general within the United States military and a chief deputy in law enforcement. DeWitt getup also closely resembled a law enforcement motor unit, a deputy wrote in the affidavit, as the 41-year-old also sported a bulletproof vest, a gun belt, and a handgun or pepper ball gun, Motorola radios, pepper spray, and a baton and a body camera. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said DeWitt was the rider leading the group in the far left lane of the highway. DeWitt was the only one openly carrying a firearm, which is a violation of state law, according to the Sheriff's Office. A deputy conducted the traffic stop, pulling over the registered sex offender, and immediately took him into custody as a safety measure. DeWitt's firearm, they later learned, was a device that could shoot out chemicals, and it was not a loaded firearm. Now, Mr. DeWitt has several convictions for impersonating a police officer, and the saga continues. I've actually seen videos on YouTube regarding this guy. He just thinks that he can do whatever he desires. And kind of frankly, just because you walk around in police-like stuff, I'm not sure that's actually probable cause to pull you over. So Mr. DeWitt may actually have a case. But for today, Mr. DeWitt, dude, you're not a cop. You've been in trouble before. Let it go. For not letting it go, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the week. Now, let's do a quick recap of all of the other dumb criminals this week. Nicole Holland, right? She's the woman who was arrested in connection with the death of a miniature Doberman Pinscher that was named Champ. That's right. She was the one that left her heroin out and the dog ate it. Tuesday, Elliot Stewart, 35, suspected of stabbing his wife's boyfriend, was arrested after getting stuck in a chimney fleeing the crime scene. Wednesday, we had James John Tanner, who broke into a residence using a credit card. His only flaw in the whole plan was he forgot to pick up the credit card and left it there. Needless to say, the police were able to track him down quickly. And do not forget Thursday. That's right, the bonus edition, food edition. We have Lillian Barrett, 23 years old, who got in a fight over chicken nuggets where the police were called, and she was ultimately arrested for assaulting police. And then we had 39-year-old Mohammed Abu Baker, who got so upset that his girlfriend got him a quarter pounder instead of a Big Mac that he threw her around a little bit. I'm not really rooting for Mr. Abu Baker simply because you just don't hit girls, and that's just the way it is. And then obviously today, Mr. DeWitt, he thinks he's a cop, but he's not a cop. All right, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.